This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited right now to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to Justin Williams from The Athletic, senior college sports reporter. Justin, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm driving back from Cleveland, where I was this weekend, but excited to talk some college hoops with you guys.
Awesome, man. So you were there to watch, did Pitino go down in Cleveland? What did you think of St. John's going out so early after such a big season?
So I saw a younger Pitino go out. New Mexico was there. But Rick was there last night. He made the, you know, Richard talked about, I guess there was like a private jet of Pitino family members that was flying back and forth between Providence and Cleveland, which, you know, I guess when you're Pitino, you have the funds to procure a private jet. So he had family that was, you know, I think they watched St. John's on Thursday, then flew to Cleveland, and then back and forth. So, it was a rough weekend for the Pitino family. This was actually the first time both father and son had made it to the second round of the same tournament. And I think a lot of people expected Rick and St. John's to advance. I don't think anyone, you know, New Mexico was a 10 seed, that they had a 10-point lead on Michigan State early. And there was a moment where it was like, wow, this will be weird if Richard Pitino in New Mexico is the Pitino coach that makes it to the Sweet 16. Unfortunately for them, though, but both Pitinos with a bow out in the second round.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable watching them both go down. I think with Calipari and Pitino, with Arkansas versus St. John's, when did those two start to kind of hate each other? Because they were showing all this footage of them kind of like laughing and joking together, and it seems pretty clear that that's no longer the situation.
Yeah, I think even Calipari had a quote this weekend where it was, you know, when he was at Kentucky and Pitino was at Louisville, you know, he said, like, you know, you're not going to be friends, right? If you're the coach of Kentucky, you're not going to be friends with the coach of Louisville and vice versa. And so they had clearly known each other before that, you know, kind of come up in the industry. I don't know that they were close before that, but I think any hope of them becoming, like, super chummy probably went away when they were on opposite sides of that Kentucky rivalry.
Yeah, that adds up. And now Cal's got, you know, Arkansas is a 10 seed, but they've got lottery pick talent on there the way Calipari always does. Not a lot of upsets in this bracket at all. Are you surprised that there hasn't been a little more chaos?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I think because that happened this year, you know, everyone's immediate thing is like, well, this is NIL and this is the transfer portal and it's taken away the Cinderellas. Maybe, I think, like, I don't want to sound the alarm on that too quickly. I do, like, some of the people I work with at The Athletic had even written before the tournament started, the top end, like, especially the one seeds, Duke and Auburn and Houston and those teams, like, they're, you know, if you go by KenPom and some of the advanced metrics, like, really, really good this year. It almost kind of, like, set the stage for, hey, this might be a really chalky tournament because of how good the teams are at the top. Now, whether that's something that, like, this is the new world order and this is the way it is going forward, we'll see. I watched Robert Morris give Alabama a lot of problems and, you know, kind of had a chance at that game. And we're still just, we're 2 years removed from Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue. So I even asked Tom Izzo this weekend, like, well, what do you think about these lack of upsets? He kind of shrugged. So it's something interesting that I'm kind of curious to see, will it continue moving forward? It's definitely disappointing because we won all those upsets. But I guess I'm in the Tom Izzo camp where it's like, I'm not ready to sound the alarm. Maybe this was just kind of a one-year boring tournament. But it's certainly the lack of Cinderellas, you know, that's what makes March Madness so special. And so I do agree that it feels a little bit hollow that we really didn't get that this year.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, when you look at it, like, a lot, I understand a lot of guys have gotten into the portal, gone to the bigger colleges, but everybody can't go to the big college, so the other guys got to go somewhere.
Yeah, and like,
it may
look,
just
not,
be how it is this year.
That's right. And it's you know, and people are kind of talking about, oh, this is the death of the mid-major. Well, it's not like mid-majors were getting 2 and 3 seeds before this or anything like that. Like, we're still looking at, you know, if you're going to have a 15 or a 14 seed beating a 2 or a 3 seed, like, that's going to be a huge upset whether you're in the NIL era or not. So I'm choosing to kind of think and, you know, maybe holding out hope that this was just a particularly chalky year. And we'll get back to some chaos here in the future. But it was definitely something that, you know, I think kind of changed the way we looked at that first weekend this year.
We're talking with Justin Williams from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Williams_Justin, senior writer covering college football and basketball. What did we learn about the SEC this weekend?
You know, it's funny, like, I watched Alabama, you know, get to the Sweet 16, Auburn, I'm going to Atlanta next week and they're going to be there. Like, you know, part of you wants to write the column, like, hey, Alabama's a basketball school now, and just because, you know, that'll get Feinbaum and kind of the SEC crowd really riled up. But it is interesting that, like, you know, whether you're a school that has really cared about basketball traditionally, like Kentucky, or whether you're a school like Auburn or Alabama that everyone just associates with football, like, that it's a historic basketball conference this season. And some of these schools that, you know, as recently as 5 or 10 years ago have successful basketball programs, you know, now Alabama's coming off a Final Four and they're going back to the Sweet 16. You know, I think part of it is, like, yeah, there's a lot of money in the SEC right now and they're investing in their basketball programs in a way that's been successful. I also just think, like, they've done a really good job of hiring coaches. And, you know, Nate Oates is a really good coach. Bruce Pearl is a really good coach. John Calipari, for kind of all the criticism, is a really good coach. And so I think you're seeing that, hey, if you make smart hires in the way that kind of college sports is structured these days, then you're probably going to end up being successful. And so that's what kind of stands out to me is, man, these schools have really hit on some coaching hires, and it's turned into success. Now, whether – you know, I don't think Alabama's all of a sudden going to become a basketball-centric fan base or Auburn, but it's been kind of fun to watch. Like, hey, I think sometimes as much as NIL and the portal really is important, it kind of comes down to, can you make the right head coaching hires?
Well, I'm not trying to be rude about this. I don't know the right way to say it. The SEC is also willing to look past transgressions on some of these coaching hires that maybe other conferences won't. Like, Bruce Pearl has a pretty bad reputation over decades, right? And then Auburn just hires him. I mean, Chris Beard at Ole Miss got arrested for some really shady stuff, I think. Or maybe not arrested, but, like, there was an incident. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? How much of that is a factor? Like, yo, these are very good coaches. But hell, St. John's did it. I mean, sometimes you just got to take
some of these
coaches, the bad pub.
Some of these colleges got to stop acting like they're so holy and endowed, too.
Especially now that you're just paying everybody.
That's what it comes down to. Like, you know what I think will be an interesting test case here is, if I know it's not official yet, but if NC State ends up hiring Will Wade, Like, right. What's Will Wade? You know, is he going to go into NC State and kind of do what he did when he went to LSU, what he did when he went to McNeese? You mentioned it was St. John's. Like, you know, there was some kind of some skeletons in Rick Pitino's closet. You're right that I think at some point there becomes this, you know, give and take with colleges and, you know, the academia side. Like, what are you willing to pay for success? And if you're willing to just hire the coach that by any means necessary, whether they're, you know, always savory or unsavory, is going to win. And I think you're starting to, like, Indiana was interesting, right? Because I think, you know, Darian DeVries is, you know, he's kind of a coach that's kind of come up their traditional way. But when that Indiana job came open, I think there was a lot of IU fans that were like, look, like, hire whoever. We want to win. And, you know, Darian DeVries, we'll see if he ends up having success. But I do think there are some schools that traditionally had success and have kind of maybe avoided going, like, the questions route on some of these coaches. And I think the longer you go without winning, the more and more those fan bases are willing to say, like, nope, I don't really care, you know, what the person has in their past. We want to win games. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these schools, whether it's in the SEC or elsewhere, say, like, yeah, we'll kind of take a chance on some culture question marks in the past if it's going to be going to mean we're going to get some victories.
Totally. Well, and I think so much of the hypocrisy grandstanding stuff has been eliminated. They're paying the players. It's official. It's on the books. Like, what Will, best I know, Will Wade got in trouble at LSU for paying the players. Well, guess what? You don't get in trouble for it anymore. You know, yeah. Like, Calipari's been giving these dudes the bag forever. Now he does it officially at Arkansas. Like, who cares? Now, if it's other stuff, I get it.
Right.
I think the big – we're approaching a world where the SEC is the only thing – the SEC – and the Big Ten are the only thing that matter. And then you get a couple one-offs, Duke in basketball, maybe Clemson in football. But, like, the way the money is structured, it's SEC versus Big Ten for everything. And then I think the Big Ten, to me, condescendingly tries to pearl clutch and act like they're a little holier than the SEC and we care about academics and blah, blah, blah. But as things continue, they're just going to do – I mean, what was Ohio State's – NIL this year. It was like $25 million for that team, right?
Yep,
like,
exactly.
Who are we kidding?
Yeah, and I think there is some, like, going back to the coaching thing, you're right. Like, you know, look at Houston. They hire Kelvin Sampson, a guy who got fired from Indiana for, I think, making, like, too many phone calls to recruits. You know, again, this is, we're not talking about, like, crimes against humanity, and Indiana's still kind of in the wilderness basketball-wise, and Houston basketball is one of the best programs. But then you're right, too. I do think it comes down to, it's not always that if you spend the most money, you're going to have the most success, because we've seen in years past where Ohio State, you know, didn't win a championship in football, or Kentucky basketball or Duke basketball doesn't win the championship. But I think there is a pretty clear track record of, if you're investing in coaches that have success and you're spending a lot of money, then you're probably going to have success, too.
Yeah.
That's totally right.
So, let's land at a place here. You know what? Let's do a Duke update. Duke's pretty damn good, dude. That team's pretty loaded. Do you think they are the only team capable of non-SEC or Big Ten winning it all?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think Houston is definitely still in that conversation.
Okay.
you know, and it is funny because it's which coaches will tell you it's all about matchups. And so I do think there's certain teams that, you know, like Houston is really tough and physical. But if they get in a game, you know, with like an Alabama who just wants to get up and down and chuck threes, and it's a game where Alabama gets hot, well, then, you know, yeah, Alabama can come out and win. But I do think if you're kind of putting together like that group of champions, you know, is Texas Tech in there? I don't know. Is anyone else in that
BYU
group right now? BYU is kind of like Alabama light, where like they can get hot and have a great game, but I don't know if they're going to win a championship. It does feel like, and Michigan State, who I saw this weekend, Michigan State's really good. I have a hard time seeing Michigan State winning a national championship this year.
Me too.
I think we're probably looking at like Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and then Duke and Houston, kind of that group of SEC Big Ten with maybe plus Duke, plus Houston. I'm probably forgetting someone off the top of my head, but I think it's a pretty small group that I have a lot of confidence could make it to the end.
Well, Justin, you forgot Maryland, who could still win the title, damn it. talking with our friend Justin.
They keep letting them travel on all these plays.
Oh, God. This is not where I thought we were going, but now we're going. Talking with Justin Williams from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Williams_Justin here on the Rude Guest Hotline. We can start right there. I'm a proud Maryland alum. That was not a travel. Also, the kid almost knocked somebody out in the first half and shouldn't have even been on the court. How the hell do the refs miss that elbow?
So I was covering games last night, but, you know, the joy of modern technology and YouTube TV, I kind of had the Maryland game going as I'm sitting courtside watching another game. I didn't see the elbow. I did see the game-winning shot. And I will say, at no point in that, you know, moment was I thinking, like, man, he traveled. It did not jump out to me in the moment. Obviously, a lot of other people felt differently. To me, like, the biggest takeaway, which, you know, I kind of saw after the game that I loved, was, you know, Derek Queen, highly rated freshman. I love that he, you know, in the huddle before the play was like, give me the bleeping ball.
Yeah,
and,
I like
you
that.
You know, Kevin Willard gave him the ball, and he went out and delivered. And sure, if you're a Colorado State fan or a non-Maryland fan, maybe you're whining about traveling, but I thought it was a great play. I thought it was a great moment, especially in a tournament where we haven't really had those plays. So as much as it's fun to maybe needle it for Maryland fans, I didn't register it as a travel in the moment either.
I agree with that. I think they have a shot against Florida. Florida's obviously really good, but I think if Maryland plays their best, they got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about the tournament. We didn't get those 15, 14, 16 seed upsets. But, like, look at Arkansas, a team that, you know, really struggled this year, and they go out and they make it to the Sweet 16. Certainly, in a single elimination game tournament, if Maryland plays its best and Florida has a little bit of a down game, then, yeah, I definitely think they can advance. You know, that UConn game I thought was a good example of Florida didn't play great in the first half. And, you know, UConn obviously has a little bit of a pedigree, even if they weren't as good this year, Florida end up pulling it out. I think a lot's going to have to go right for Maryland to pull out a victory against the Gators. But that's the beauty this time of year is it could definitely happen.
So let's do the kind of annoying stuff with this Maryland program. I'm just noticing, so Iowa just hired the coach from Drake, which looks mm-hmm. like a home run hire. And this news appears to be just breaking that Minnesota is hiring the dude from Colorado State who
– Right.
I hate that. If you're a Colorado State fan, you probably really love the way your team plays, but I think everybody else hates it. Like, they're
a little rough.
Yeah, they're on the edge of a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? And those are two very good hires. For kind of to your earlier point about hire well and good teams follow – I think both of those are home runs for those programs.
Yeah, and, you know, I think is it Nico Medved, who's the Colorado State coach, that one's kind of been circulating for a while that he might end up there. I've been fascinated by the Kevin Willard stuff this weekend, and I kind of, you know, I wrote about Will Wade and how him being so honest about the North Carolina State stuff and the coaching cycle, like maybe this is the new wave of how we talk about coaching hires, where coaches, instead of getting in front of a microphone and lying right up until the announcement comes out, maybe they're a little bit more honest. Kevin Willard, like, he didn't do the exact same thing as Will Wade, but I have some respect for the fact that he's like, look, it's March Madness. Everyone's paying attention. I'm in front of a microphone. You know, I'm going to start saying some of the stuff that I want from my school. I'm going to say what I want in my contract. And Maryland, if they want to keep me, they can give it to me. And if they don't, then, you know, maybe I go to Villanova or wherever. And so I don't know how you feel about it as a Maryland fan. As someone that covers the sport, I kind of was, like, shocked by it, but found it a little bit refreshing.
I I've made my peace with it. I think this is like a two-act play by Willard, honestly, and them winning gives him more of a angle to do so. I think act one was making sure Damon Evans left, getting the AD that very much favors football and where the money goes, getting him out. And then if I had to guess, Willard's going to want to have some level of say in who the next AD is and what the football-basketball split is, all those sorts of things, right? And two... Yeah.
I think it's a
leverage play.
My question here, football normally is going to outweigh basketball because it's way more people.
Right.
Naturally. If he's trying to make that even, then he may as well go to another school.
At Maryland, it's not way more people.
I'm talking about you got 60 to 100 football players. What, 20 basketball players? That's right. Where the difference comes.
I don't think it's about a dollar for dollar evenness, mm-hmm. but it's about basketball getting a lot more than they currently do. Mark Turgeon had the same problems. He just didn't win and get. I think Kevin Willard, there's a lot of things happening. I think the Evans stuff was probably on some level personal. And then I think Willard is a aggressive, chip on his shoulder kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a lot of leverage right now with this team in the Sweet 16, and he's using it. How real do you think it is he goes to Villanova?
I mean, it's the way he's talking, it certainly seems like it's a possibility. But I do think you're right. I think it comes down to, you know, I don't know how much people are kind of tracking this whole house settlement and revenue sharing. But I think the next interesting thing in college sports is this push and pull between football and basketball. And it's always kind of been this way, but now especially when we're talking about how much money you're paying players, there's a lot of these schools where football is king and football drives the TV money, but how much can your basketball, you know, program kind of, you know, convince to get the funding? And I think what Kevin Willard is doing is like, hey, we're at Maryland. This isn't Auburn. This isn't Alabama. This is a place where traditionally it's kind of been an ACC basketball school. And I think he's making the point, like, I get it. Football is king in terms of revenue. But, you know, if we want to have a chance to win a national championship or we want to kind of keep this traditional fan base, let's not forget about basketball. And he's kind of saying, like, if you don't want to do that at Maryland, then I'll go to a place that doesn't even have football. And I'll just go to Villanova, a place that's won national championships. So Villanova has not named a coach. I assume that Kevin Willard is certainly on that short list. How much leverage he has in terms of how interested they are in him, you know, it probably doesn't matter when you get to the Sweet 16. So I think he kind of, like you said, he bet on himself a little bit. And for him, it's worked out so far.
I agree. And how does that work out if they lose last night? And he's the only four seed that loses it. You know what I mean? Like, one shot changes a lot of things.
Yep.
Justin, I appreciate it, man. Maybe we do this again next
week. Jay.
This was great. I appreciate you guys having me on anytime.
Okay, bye, great. Thanks, dude. That's our buddy Justin Williams from The Athletic, senior college sports reporter. You can give him a follow at Williams_Justin.